just drifts away. And as I look back on the years, memories of happiness and bitter tears. Through it all there was a common thread that cannot be ignored. You were there teaching me to be your servant. Every joy and pain had a reason of its own. Now I realize that I was not alone. The changing seasons of my life were not left up to chance. Lord, I know you were working to fulfill your plan.
Thank you, Shelley. Let's stand together for a minute. We'll read a few verses here. Stand if you are able. Jeremiah chapter number 2. Jeremiah chapter number 2. We'll read verses 1 through 8. Of course, if you are following the church's Bible reading schedule, we're still in the book of Jeremiah. We're probably about a little more than halfway through it, but you probably read this recently. So we'll read a few verses here. A couple weeks ago, we talked about abiding in Christ and talked about being connected to Christ, and it's kind of turned into a couple weeks, kind of a mini-series type thing, and this is kind of connected to it here in a roundabout way, so we'll discuss that in a minute. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1, we'll start there. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passeth through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered in, when you entered, you defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? They that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. This morning I pray as we look into your word that you would speak to our hearts here, Lord, as we look at staying close to you, staying connected to Christ, so that you may work in our hearts, that you may give us the power to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I mentioned before, we've been talking a little bit about being connected to Christ. In the first week, we talked about abiding in Christ. The fact that if we abide in Jesus Christ, if we are connected to him, the natural result will be spiritual growth in our life. It will just happen. And the last week, we looked a little differently. We looked at a couple things that would kill that growth. We have said over the last couple weeks that really, look at your life, look at your Christianity, and the type of Christianity you have, and the type of life you have because you choose to have that life. You say, well, no, there's consequences or there's things going on in my life, and I wouldn't choose that. Right. But if you choose to stay disconnected to Christ, you're also choosing the consequences. You have no choice in the consequences. And so you are choosing that kind of life. You are the Christian that you want to be. And we need to be connected to Christ. Last week we talked about two connection killers, things that will keep us from being connected to Christ. One of them was not getting into the Bible, not learning God's word and where he speaks to us. And then we also mentioned about we aren't careful about what we allow into our minds. And the whole thought behind that was this. We cannot choose how what is in our mind affects our life. We can only choose what we allow to come into our mind. And so that's where we're at with that. As we kind of finish this little whole concept here, we're kind of looking at some verses saying, man, what in the world does Jeremiah have to do with that? I don't know. We'll figure it out together. We're going to see the little bit of a downward spiral that we can take when we disconnect from God. That's what Jeremiah is talking about. Jeremiah prophesied during that time when, for the most part, the northern kingdom, Israel, had already been taken into captivity. And so Jeremiah is prophesying to the southern kingdom that is not in captivity. These are God's people. And Jeremiah is giving them warnings that judgment from the Babylonians is going to come to them because of their disobedience to him. He confronts them with their sins and pleads with them to change, which they will not. In fact, in the section of Jeremiah, which we, if you're following the Bible reading schedule that actually we started reading this morning, Jeremiah's message is starting to shift to, it's too late, judgment's coming. When they come, surrender, and you'll be okay. And if you don't surrender, you're going to be killed. And that message didn't go over very well. But he's confronting them. He pictures their relationship in the verses we saw here, their spiritual relationship with God, which they were his people. It should have been close. He's picturing it as an unfaithful wife to her husband. Now, if you're married and you're male or you're even a lady, what probably the most hurtful thing that could happen to you in your life is if your spouse cheated on you. That would probably be the most hurtful thing that could happen in your life. And that's the picture God always uses when we are unfaithful to him and when his people were unfaithful to him. And that's what they were doing. They were turning to God. They were turning from God to idolatry, and he pictures it as adultery. We're going to look here in these verses in chapter 2 and a couple other verses. And in chapter 3, and as I was going through these verses, I noticed there's a progression there. Several things he mentions when we start to drift from God. See, Israel had started to drift. They had started drifting from God a while ago. And they went through this downward spiral. Now, I don't think most of us here are there today. If you were one, some of these things I'm going to mention, we'll mention them briefly. If some of you were there, you wouldn't even be in church. So I'm giving this to us as a warning to be very, very careful. We need to be on guard when it comes to our relationship to God. It can't be like a marriage relationship, like, well, we're married, that relationship is set in stone, it's taken care of, I'll move on to something else, and it'll be all right. Now, if you're married, you know that doesn't work. It's got to constantly, regularly be worked on. You know, what is one of the laws of thermodynamics? Everything left to itself goes from order to chaos or disorder. And that's true of our relationship with God. So we need to be on guard and make sure we don't progress through these steps. These steps are a warning. These steps are to encourage us to be very, very careful that we don't follow these steps. What are these steps? Let me give them to you. Number one, the first downward step to disconnection, we don't miss God's presence. We don't miss it in our lives. Look at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone from me? Verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord? Verse 8, now the prophets and the priests get involved. Where is the Lord? The reason they probably weren't asking is because they didn't know he was gone. You see, Christianity isn't just some kind of religion. It's not something where we come to church and Brother Pineda sings a chorus of a song and we all pull a prayer bench down and we get down and do whatever it is we do and pray some words that have no meaning. Thinking we're doing God some religious exercise. You know that if you're a Christian. It's a living, vital relationship with God. And when we don't even realize that relationship is gone, we're headed downhill. We don't miss God's presence. That's what happened in their country. If God's presence is in your life, you'll either know it, or worse yet, you've gotten so used to it, you don't get it. You think it's there, but he's not. I heard a story. 1988, there was one of these local television crews, and they sent a reporter out on assignment. He was going to jump out of an airplane with this team of parachutists. And he had his camera, and he was reporting live for the news report. So they got him up there, and he jumped out of the plane, and they're all falling and falling and falling, and he's taking, you know, shots of them, and they all start popping their parachutes. And all of a sudden, the picture shows spinning around. The problem was, in his haste to get out there, he hadn't put his parachute on, and he jumped out of the plane. Now, he thought it was there. But when he needed it, he found out it wasn't there. Hey, let's not be people that don't realize God's presence is gone until we need it. Let's stay close to him. Let me ask you, you say, when you read your Bible, does God speak to you anymore? You say, man, well, first of all, let me just say this. If you're not reading your Bible, there you go right there. There you go right there. Well, I'm reading it once a week, and I just don't get anything out of it. I get that. You might want to hop in that thing every day. You come to church and you and some of you young people, you come to church, you sit around, you just mess around your cell phones. Hey, shame on you. Don't do that. I thought I'd throw that in. That's free. If you want to sit here and play on your cell phone, don't come to church. All right, let's move on. By the way, it's distracting to people around you. And can I just tell you something? And this is a memo. You aren't that important. I'm not that important. Okay? If I'm sitting in a service and President Obama texts me, I take it. He does regularly. Just kidding. Come on. Do you ever realize? Let me explain something to you that are a little bit younger. We used to get by without these pretty good. Most of you are more connected to this than you are to God. You can't go any. That wasn't even my notes. Pray for me. You can't even go anywhere without people like. Now, maybe you're just playing Galactic Space Chickens and you're on level 47. I don't know. Okay? But anyhow, where were we at? Oh, yeah, God's presence. But maybe you come to church, it's like, you know what? God doesn't speak to him anymore. Well, if God doesn't speak to you anymore in church, there's just one of two options. Number one, you're perfect. You say, well, that's me. Well, let me ask your wife and let's see what she says. Okay? Or maybe you can't hear him anymore.
There you go.
You see. Amen. It'd be nice if we know when God's presence is leaving, so we'll go get it. Yeah. I like Gideon. It comes to Gideon and says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Here's what Gideon said. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles? You know what? Gideon got it. Comes to Gideon, the angel, hey, you're a mighty man of valor. He goes, really? If God is with me, if God is with us, how come we're in such trouble? And where's all the miracles we used to hear about? Hey, Gideon knew the presence was gone. Yeah, right. Boy, we need to know that. Okay? And by the way, and I'm not going to say that. Sometimes you get down on your knees and you pray, and it's like, it's good. Other times you get down on your knees and pray, it's like, is it getting past the wall? Keep doing it. But if that's all the time, if you maybe do read your Bible and you never get anything out of it, you come to church and basically it's just become nothing more than a religious exercise, maybe there's something going on. Let's stay close to God. By the way, let me say this. He hasn't moved. It's not him. If there's a distance there, it's always us. And I encourage you, I implore you, look at Eli. And Eli in 1 Samuel, Eli the old prophet, he's training the young Samuel, and God's talking to Samuel, and Samuel doesn't get it because he's a young kid. It took Eli 3 tries before he realized, hey, it's God speaking. Hey, Eli should have known that a long time ago. Look at Samson. Samson was messing around and getting close to sin and close to giving Delilah the secret. And once he gave Delilah the secret and the Philistines are upon thee, he hopped up and thought everything would be great. The Bible said, and he wist not. Tell him I'll be there later. He wist not that God's spirit was even gone. He didn't even know it. Boy, let's not go there. That's where it all starts. Try to get something from God. We all go through, people call it dry times in our life. Boy, let's hammer at it. Let's be like David. When David got in his word, he goes, Lord, open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of that law. Boy, let's stay close to the Lord. We need him. By the way, the world in which we live, it is not getting better. It is getting worse. You know, I don't know where all these emails come from. There's several conservative groups. They send me in emails and tell me what's going on. And man, it is not good. Now, I'm glad it keeps me informed of what's going on, okay? But you know what? If we're with God, it's going to be all right. Yeah. Say, is this country ever going to turn around? I can tell you positively, I don't think so. But I can tell you this, there's people in this country that can turn around if we go get them, okay? Oh, everything's horrible. No, everything's not horrible. God's not dead. Let's go over there and let's get some people saved and let's reach some people for Christ and let's see how it all shakes out. But it won't happen if we're not staying close to God. Number two, we start to backslide. Verse 19 of chapter 2 says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Now they're going to be convicted or reproved by their own backsliding. But we start to backslide. What is backslide? How many ever heard that word? You hear that word backslide? Say, man, what is that? That's just some kind of, you know, you slide backwards. What's the game? There's one of the dumb games I play with the kids. I hate it. You get the little things. You try to get them home. And no, chutes and ladders. Spare me. I'm not smart enough to play that game. It's the one. It's either trouble or sorry. Sorry. And man, you're ready to go, and you hit that stupid arrow, and it slides you back. And then someone steps on you, and you got to go back too. I hate that game. Okay? I don't play trouble or sorry with my kids anymore because I never win. Never. And I always get like two in there right away, and I forget it. So let's do something important, like read our Bibles, you know? But that's what happens in our life. We lose God's presence, and we were going forward for God, and what happens is we start to give up ground. We're going backwards. That's all backsliding is. Backsliding is the direction of your Christian life. By the way, who's the best Christian in this room? I don't know. So it's probably one of the pastoral staff. No, it isn't. And I know it's not Brother West's team. Okay? It might be one of the newest Christians in this room because they're going the right direction. If you've been, I've been a Christian for 20 years, but you're going this direction? Wrong direction. Here's a new Christian. They got stuff they're still dealing with, but you know where they're going? They're going that way. It's all about your direction. What direction are you going? Are you starting to slide back in your life? Hey, those of you who've been around here for a while, some people sometimes we get victory in certain areas of our life or certain things God taught us and we go forward, and then we're not careful. We lose God's presence. We start to backslide, and those things we thought we had dealt with, they start to slide back in our life. We start to struggle with them again. And by the way, Satan is such I was going to call him a slime bag, but that's not right. Satan is such a, as soon as that happens, like, see what kind of Christian you are? See what kind of Christian you are? Why do you even try? Don't fall for that. By the way, if you slid back, you know what you do? Slide up. Okay? Slide up. Turn around. Go the right direction. You know, look, one time we were driving to Washington, and it was like, we were driving, and I'd driven till 4 in the morning, and I was dying, so I put my wife in the car. I took like a 2-hour nap. I wake up, and we're driving in clouds. And I knew we weren't supposed to be in the mountains. I'm like, sister, where are we? She goes, I don't know, but we're making good time, you know? It's like, man, she's doing great, but she got on the wrong road. We're going the wrong direction. That's back before cell phones and GPSs. And so we had a car that had OnStar. So I push OnStar button. First time we ever used it. She goes, this is OnStar. What can I do for you? I'm like, where am I? And the lady says, I don't know. I'm like, you are very helpful. Now, she did say, where are you trying to get to? I said, I'm trying to get to the 94. She goes, I can get you there. It's going to be a while, but I'll get you there. It's like, look, we weren't going the right direction. But you know what we did? We got back on course. We got going the right direction. Cost us a few hours. That's okay. But where are you going? What direction are you headed? By the way, you know it. Now, I'll say this. None of us ever think we're where we should be. And you say, well, I'm not backslidden. Okay, you have pride issues. We'll get another message for you. But you know what I'm talking about. If you're struggling, don't let that get you down. Turn around. Don't let it. The whole point of it isn't condemning. The whole point of it is like spiritual GPS. What are you doing? Where are you going? Hey, let's go the right direction. Backsliding. We start to backslide. You never win a battle unless you're advancing. Ever. That's why you constantly need to be growing in your faith. Constantly. Say, well, I come to church every week. Man, I am so glad. But you need to spend time with God. Well, I come faithfully on Sunday mornings. You ought to try Sunday night. You ought to try Thursday night. But let's go forward in our faith. 2 Peter chapter 2 says, verse 22, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit. Now, that just doesn't sound good. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, I've never seen a dog eat their own vomit. Now, when I was a kid, we had a duck and a German shepherd, and the duck did something, the German shepherd ate it. That was pretty sick. But, you know, that's God's picture, though. You got right with God, and you were going forward. Everything's wonderful. And then you go right back to where you were. Why would we do that? Well, we lost his presence, first of all, and we let that let us start sliding backwards. Number 3. We forsake him. forsake him. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13 says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. That's one of them. In the second part of Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19 says, know therefore and see that this is an evil thing and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. If you don't get off the backsliding road, you'll eventually come to the place where you forsake God. Now, that's a harsh word, isn't it? Think about that. What does forsake mean? It means to abandon? That sounds even worse. To desert? That doesn't sound good. You know, to ditch? It just doesn't sound good. I don't want to forsake God. I don't want to abandon God. By the way, I've known many who have. But it doesn't, one person does it one day, get up, read their Bible, love God, you know, I'm excited about Jesus, and the next day say, I'm going to forsake God. It never happens that way. It's a progression. Okay? And if we don't get it in check, we're going to do that someday. You say, I'll never do that. I would never say that. Now, I hope I never do that. But I'm flesh, and I know this. If I'm not careful, I could do something ridiculous and be headed on that road. We better be very, very careful. Desert. When we think of deserting, we think of, you know, we think of parents who desert their children. Deadbeat dads. I don't understand that. I don't understand how a man could not want to be with his children. I don't get that. Now, my wife and I, well, we're never going to break. If she ever left, I'd want the kids. Those are my kids. But I just think I'll keep the whole group, all right? You know, they're my kids. I'm going to be in their life, okay? You know, and by the way, we're getting to the point in our society now where women abandon the children. I don't even understand that. I don't understand how a lady can leave her husband and say, I don't even want the kids. Can I just tell you something? There is something mighty wrong with that. If it is horrible for a man to abandon his children, it is five times horrible for a lady to abandon her children. Now, I don't know if that's in the Bible. Maybe that's just Steve-ology. I don't get that. But we abandon. Spouses abandon each other. I knew a couple in the early days of AIDS. They went to a church that I knew of, and this man had a disease where he had to get blood transfusions. And they didn't understand at that time that you could get it through blood transfusions. And he got AIDS through a blood transfusion, and his wife left him. I don't understand that. But see, we forsake God the same way. Okay? So I'd never forsake God. I know, but when you lose his presence, it's coming. It's coming. It's down the track. We really got to hurry. Number four, we lose our fear of him. Verse 19, that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord. Now when we forsake him, now we don't even fear him anymore. Now, fear of the Lord is not walking around like if I make one mistake, God's going to jump all over me. That's not what he's talking about. Fear is really an accountability issue. It's realizing that God knows everything I do, everything I say, everything I think. He knows everything about me, and I'm accountable to him. It's like a good relationship a parent has with a child. Listen, that's a loving relationship, but if that child steps out of line, by the way, we don't have that anymore. We let our little children do whatever they want. I don't know what our society is teaching us. They're teaching us that when they're 2 and 3, our children decide. No, they don't. You make that little kid listen. But there's no, there. Listen, the child knows dad still loves them, but they know, uh-oh, I violated a law. And dad's going to deal with me about it. You see, now I don't fear God anymore. There's no accountability there. Proverbs 16:6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You see, it's that accountability to God that causes us to live a right life. By the way, God's not the old man upstairs. I got an agreement with the guy upstairs. He's not the guy upstairs. You don't have an agreement. And if you have an agreement, you're the only one that signed the contract. Okay? Our agreement with God is in his word. And we ought to give God the holy respect and reverence that he deserves. Years ago, I was making a Sunday school visit out in Carson, 223rd, whatever it turns into. And there's a church over there. I think it's Judson Memorial or whatever. I shouldn't have said it, but I did. And they had a big banner up on there. And it was Jesus in a gang style saying, "What's up?" Listen, if you follow that garbage, it's not "what's up," it's "what's down." Okay? Jesus isn't some gangbanger. And by the way, we mentioned it last week, but maybe you didn't get it. You shouldn't watch a Cartoon Network. That stupid show, Black Jesus, that's garbage. Jesus smoking pot, doing drug deals, and using the F word, that's blasphemy. And I'd hate to be the guy that plays him. Okay, we'll get off that. By the way, you know why our society doesn't have reverence for God? Because most Christians don't. We just don't. Let's get back to personal. We've lost our fear of him. Hey, God's a loving God. And I'm not saying we should walk around like this. We ought to walk around saying, "Lord, I understand I'm a..." By the way, isn't that stewardship? Stewardship is, "Lord, my life is yours, and I'm just going to be accountable for what you tell me to do." Yep. Number five, we turn our back on him. Jeremiah 22, verse 27 says, "Saying to a stock, 'Thou art my father,' and to a stone," talking about idols, 'Thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back on me and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, 'Arise and save us.'" I used to have a buddy in church in a Bible college. He was good, you know. He'd walk down the hallway and there'd be some Bible college guy. "Hey, brother, how you doing? Amen? You got Jesus behind you?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, I do." He goes, "I know, you turned your back on him." That's what most people are doing. You know why we turn our back on Jesus? We don't want to hear it anymore. You ever get in an argument with somebody or someone's going off or trying to start a fight and the best, I'm just going to turn away. It's not worth it. We do that to God. We say, "I don't want to listen to you anymore. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I'm going to turn from you and I'm going to follow my own way." See, we've turned from the presence of God where we're having trouble hearing from him till we get to the point where it's like, "I don't want to hear from him." That's pretty bad progression. Yeah. Number six, we forget him. We forget him. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32 says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." Let me ask you a question. Do you live your life all week long and never have a thought about God? You see, the Bible tells us we're supposed to meditate on Scripture day and night. What does day and night mean? Well, it means all day. And then when it gets dark, it means all night. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? It means we're supposed to pray without ceasing, means don't stop. Does that mean we walk around on our knees all day with a Bible open? No. It means, but it's constantly on our minds. You know, I like the book of Nehemiah. The way Nehemiah prayed is the king came in and asked him a question, and before he answered the king, he prayed real quick. "Lord, help me to give him the right answer." And then he answered. He didn't need to say, "Hang tight, king. I gotta go have a prayer meeting." By the way, if you're in a car and you're headed for a cliff, you're not gonna get the prayer bulletin out and drop to your knees, okay? But you're going to pray out. You're going to pray, "Hey, Lord, help me with it." You can do that anywhere you're at. And we have Scripture in our mind. And whenever we have a decision, you know what we do? We think, "What would God's word tell me to do?" But we get to the point where we're like, "I don't want to hear it anymore. God, God's not even our thoughts. We don't even think about him. We've forgotten him." By the way, it could be sometimes because we get his blessings. Remember what he told the children of Israel before they went into the promised land. He said, "Be very, very careful. You're going to go to the promised land. You're going to get fields and vineyards which are growing, which you didn't even plant. You're going to get houses which you didn't even build. And things are going to be better. You're not slaves anymore. You're not in the wilderness anymore. And you better be careful, because once things are good," you know what happens? We forget all about God. Listen to me. Some of you used to struggle financially. And now God's blessed you and everything's good. And you forgot about him. There was times when you needed him. There was times early on in our marriage, we went down to Florida to help start a church, and it was like we prayed for food. You know what? Our cupboard's pretty full. But I still make it a habit because Jesus told us in the Lord's Prayer to pray for it. I pray for God's provisions every day, even though I have food. Because he could just, at any time. And I want him to know that I'm not forgetting him. Don't forget God. Think about him. Be thankful. Something good happens in your life. You don't have to know. If you're at work and the boss does say, it's like, wow, that was a blessing. You don't need to tell your unsaved, that was a blessing, boss. You're from God. He may not get that. Unless you work for a pastor, okay? But you know what you might want to say in your heart? Say, Lord, thank you for that. Boy, I don't want to forget him. Isn't it easy? We do that with each other. You know, your wife makes dinner for you, or you know, you make dinner for your wife. You know, we don't say thank you. And the last thing is this, and this is the ultimate here. We replace him. My people, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 6. And it was, and basically it's all throughout Jeremiah. You could pick so many verses, it's not even funny. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. Talking about worshiping other gods. By the way, most of you would not worship a statue. Most of you would not go worship some false god. But we allow other things to take God's place in our life. Let me say this. It's August and September's coming. Let me say this. One of the biggest gods for you men is football. Is it okay to say this, Brother Pineda? Okay. By the way, if you're a Raiders fan, thanks for being here today. When did you get on parole? Okay. Just kidding. Now, can I just tell you something? And I know, I love you to pieces, but I got to say it. Some of you, when football season starts, you ain't coming Sunday morning. You worship on the couch with a bag of potato chips and a soda. Listen, I like football. I've switched teams because of what the Rams did. I'm a Chargers fan. Hey, at least I don't need a tattoo. And I ain't going to jail. Well, you know what? What, you want to be a Cowboy fan? Give me a break. It's for girls. Sissies. There's only one thing worse than a 49er fan. Oh, no. Dallas and 49ers. Just idiots. We're talking about God here. But I'm going to tell you something. There's people that won't come to church on Sunday if their team's playing and they're on television. Ain't going to do it. That's your God. You know, Lord, I love you, but Cowboys are playing. I hope they lose. And I don't even need to pray about it because they're the Cowboys. They're going to lose. But, you know, you say that's silly, but think about it. If you miss church for a football game, listen, church is shut down for the Super Bowl. And I'll just tell you something right now. Brother Chim, I'm okay with it. Because if a church would shut down for the Super Bowl, they probably shouldn't be open anytime. You got to shut down for the Super Bowl. That's what DVR is for. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for sharing. All of us worship something. There's something in our life that is the most valuable thing in the world to us. It gets our time, it gets our effort, and it gets our energy. There's people that wouldn't put decent clothes on to come to church, but they'll go to a football game in the middle of a snowstorm and take their shirt off and paint a blue bee on their chest. And we're crazy? No. But let's not replace. We replace them sometimes with our work. Our whole life is about climbing the corporate ladder. What is that thing that's the most important in the world to you? What is it? If you put that before God, can I just tell you something? You replace God with it. And it's not a worthy replacement. Now, I'm not saying God's upset if you like the Cowboys. I am. I'm not saying God's not upset, but can I tell you something? If you put that, well, you know, I can't come on Tuesday night because, you know, my favorite basketball team's playing. Well, if it's the Lakers, they're going to lose. Don't worry about it. Okay? You know, Thursday night, now they got Thursday night football. Now we got to compete with Thursday night football. We're not competing with anything. We're having church. And if you love God, but I'm just saying, you say, why is that such a big deal? Because you lose out. God's the most important thing. Well, I get joy when my team wins. What happens when they lose? Look, I like the Chargers, but if they lose, it's like I'm not suicidal. I could care less. Okay? I'm not going down with the ship. Yeah, I like hockey. I'm glad the Kings won. But if they lost, I'd have lived. That would have taken a month. But I'd have been okay. We get so caught up in stuff, and our whole life is wrapped around something that has zero meaning. When we get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, how'd your team do? Say, what did you do for me? Man, we won 4 Super Bowls. Nice. That's nice. You understand what I'm saying? We replace it with money. We preach the whole message on the biggest idol in the Christian church is money. I live for money. Can I tell you something? It's a bad God. It doesn't deliver on its promise. Hey, why don't we just love God? The whole point I'm making is this. We need to be very careful. Because it's so easy to go from here to here if we're not careful. And when we see the first step being taken, let's stop it right in its tracks. And let's turn around and let's go the right direction. All right, let's pray.